John's not coming. No video camera. That's great.
Right. I'm going to call this meeting to order. Everybody's in attendance except Councilwoman Bonzer and Councilman Hennigan. Invocation. Danny, would you do the honors, please?
At this council meeting, help us to make decisions which keep us faithful to our mission and reflect our values. Give us strength to hold to our purpose, wisdom to guide us, and a keen perception to lead us. And above all, keep us charitable as we deliberate.
Thank you. Thank you. And Scouts, would you like to lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Public comment, are there any public comment cards?
No, sir.
Okay. Mayor, council comment, I'll start real quickly with one. Welcome to Scouts from Troop 477, am I correct? Welcome, guys, for the citizenship badge, is that right? So they're going to be hanging with us during this part of our session and some of the next. Welcome. Anybody have anything else at this time? Yes, Danny?
Yes, I'd like to add one thing to the agenda, that being liquor ordinance.
All right, number 6, liquor ordinance. If there are no objections, we will add that to the work session agenda. Yes,
I talked to Adrienne on the phone, and she'd like to defer, if we could, the Georgetown Master Plan. She just is in there on her tonight.
Okay, with no objections, I'll move liquor ordinance to number 1 and replace. Yes, Brian.
I'd like to bring to Councilmember Ross's attention that he might want to do liquor at 5 and change 5 to 6, depending on his intentions.
Right, so the initiation test amendments comes after your discussion.
Okay, so leave the liquor ordinance to number 1?
No, it's 5. Mark. And make number 5 6.
Okay.
I've got to take you off 1, so.
All right.
Okay, whatever.
Got it?
I have one addition.
Yep.
So this would be L6, we've got 5 and 6, and this would be a text amendment, I think. Just property donation.
And you're on work session, right?
Yeah.
All right, property donation.
Is that, where are we at on the numbers here?
Well, we can do that number 1.
Okay.
Is that right?
Sure.
All right, without objection, we'll add property donation.
Okay.
So we have number 1, property donation. And then we have a number 6, which is liquor.
Number 5 would be liquor.
Okay. 6.
And number 6 is initiation.
Text amendment.
And we are going to have an initiation of text amendments in the regular meeting, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I've got one for it, and I'll hold it for that.
All right. Very good. Danny, kick us off. You move to number 1.
Okay. For all of your information, Ron Woods, the North Atlanta Church of Christ, approached me. They have a piece of property that was donated to them. It's on Roberts Road. For those of you, it's right, it's on the same side of the road as Mill Glen, going north. It's just past Witham, and there is a creek that runs through it, if you will, and they have offered that property to the city. It's 4.13 acres. Warren knows about this, and he has checked it out, and there are some problems with it. I'll let him talk about it, then I'll talk. Warren? You got the sheet with you? Any chance?
I didn't bring it down with me.
We have a site survey and the whole thing.
Basically, the property is right there at Witham and Roberts Drive. It's about 0.4 acre piece of property.
0.4.
Okay.
You said 4 acres, and I'm like,
whoa! Sorry. I forgot to understand, like, that's the whole point. Bank of America gets me in trouble.
Rounded here.
Yeah, decimals. But 0.4 acre piece of property. The challenges on the property are, it's between two residential houses, on the street. It has a stream that runs almost through the middle of it. The stream buffer encompasses the entirety of the property. It's got mature trees along the property. The two sides of the property have sort of been impeded upon by the neighbors, kind of taking it on as part of their own. So one of them, part of this property is sort of used as their side yard, and then part of the other side of the property is used for one of the neighbors as part of their backyard. It really doesn't have a lot of opportunity for to do anything on the property because of where the stream buffer and the stream come into play. There's also a large sewer easement that goes through the property and a storm drain. There's a reason, I guess, why it's being donated because it's undevelopable piece of land. So I think from a policy standpoint, the concerns I've got are taking off the tax roll and putting it on our maintenance responsibilities when otherwise the property will still remain in green space because it's not a developable piece of property under our ordinances. The only real opportunity, you might be able to put a bench on it and do a little bit of clearing, but I don't know if that's of significant value. You couldn't put any like play structures or any other pieces on it. So I think my recommendation would be to not take the donation just because of those reasons. I don't think it's a piece of property that we can get a lot of value for, and it'll stay green space even if we don't buy it.
Buy it or just take it?
Even if we don't take it. We take it off the rolls.
Robert, just a question. Isn't it already off the rolls because it's owned by the church?
No, it's the use, not the owner.
Okay, so they are paying tax on it today. Okay.
That's right. It's not being used
right
by
okay.
them.
Okay.
Warren and I have walked this, and I know Howard was going out there. There's a lot of mature trees there, and Warren is right. Some of the folks use it kind of as their yard, and it is between two houses. One of my things that I'm looking at is, how do you make it work? Can you make it work? From the aspect of parkland, we have so little of it. It could be a pocket park. Small nature, or some benches and reading or whatever. As far as the taking off the tax rolls, it's not worth enough to even worry about, so we're not going to lose from that. I would doubt if the city tax is $150, $50. but it's one of those things that we're looking for land. There isn't much around. We have an opportunity to get some parkland. And I think it's something that we should take a good hard look at. I think one of the primary things you got to do is meet with the neighbors. I think we'd have to have, a public hearing. And so from that aspect, it's parkland. We need parks. And that's where it's coming from. And it comes to us without charge.
Is there any other negative, Warren? I mean, from city liability or any.
Obviously, we would take over whatever maintenance responsibilities. So, not much is about. I think less than $10,000 worth of clearing that we have to do on dead trees that are on the site. But obviously, we take on the maintenance and any liability that may happen in the future if the size of the creek, bed expands, if the creek falls, if somebody trips and falls, and go to our insurance. So these are not, likely scenarios where predicting that many trees will fall, but, not being the owner has its privileges. And I think, my main thought is that I think it's going to remain as parklands in green space, whether we buy it, whether we take the donation or not, would be the counter-argument to accepting it. But then you also get into, from a policy standpoint, the council needs to think about, strategy. Every time that someone has a undesirable piece of property that is not developable, they will come to the city and try to get you to take it. Maybe a policy of the city, that's good. We'll take all the pieces we can get. Or the attitude might be, that's, you got a piece of property you can't do much with, that's your problem. I just don't see the upside.
I understand what you're saying. I think it could be used as a good example for other people to follow, where it may be some frontage on the property that could be used for a swing set or just a small pocket park. And I understand that this one is not one of those.
Right.
If we could show this as one of our
corporate citizens, church citizens, donating something to the city. I think we could use that as maybe a spark plug to get other people to do a similar type thing. We had situations where someone wanted to develop property, storm sewer, stream buffer problems exist. They can't develop it, and that property may have some, in that case, it may have some value to the city, where it would provide a small pocket park in the neighborhood. And I know there's some little wooded areas around Dunwoody Village that we may take on as part of the green space there. And again, this could be an example.
So how does that compare the one we, the moment part that...
The little neighborhood one you're talking about?
Yeah, the little neighborhood one. There's a creek that meanders through it. There's like a
the quarter acre, whatever that is.
This seems similar.
I think the creek is a little bigger. There are a lot of trees on it. You know, and Warren brings up the point about liability, but, you know, we've got that on every park we've got today. You know, that's not a new game for us. The thing about it is, you know, one of the things we've heard on the comprehensive land use plan is people would like a local little park, not a pocket park. And, you know, anything we could do to provide that, I think, is an enhancement, because we're in a built-up area. There's just not that much land out there. I think it's very, very, you know, the cost factor is somewhat small as far as the maintenance. Most of it is, you know, woods and the trees and stuff there.
So what do we do, Warren, if we want to take it? What's the process? Or do we have to move?
No. Well, you got a couple things. One, you got to do an environmental check on the property. That's per state law before you open it up to the public. You just have to do some sort of agreement with the church to accept the property. They would take an action of council to accept the property as a donation. At that point, then, you know, just transfer title with a quick claim and purchase agreement.
So is that normally the process that we would decide to move forward and then direct staff to do
your thing? Get the documents, and then we'll bring it back up to council for a vote to accept the accept the property.
Okay. So we would need to get it on the agenda to move forward. But yeah, I mean,
wouldn't we have a public hearing or something?
I don't know. So. Huh? No, there are ordinances.
I'm just adding it. You know, I don't have
the expertise here.
We'll have to verify that, but I don't think so.
I think we get it unless something comes back a little wacky. You know, put a couple benches there. Sign.
Yeah, and the other question I've got is, I don't have the full answer, and I don't want to put my staff on the spot, but I emailed everyone the 75-foot stream buffer that we've overlaid onto the site, which encompasses the entirety of the property. So I'd be hesitant just to answer you right now as to what you could, I don't even know that you could put a bench in certain parts of the property. But we'll find out for sure and get that answer back to you.
Okay. All right, anything else on that?
Let me just ask you, Warren, on the 75-foot stream buffer. I don't know if it's set the precedence or what. Could we, as the city, ask for the variance to put in a swing set down to the 25-foot?
I mean, you can't vary the 25-foot.
No, I know.
But
that.
You can vary the 50 after that. So, yeah, you could. I think depending on what the use is, now from a variance standpoint, it would go to BZA, even though it's the city of the applicant.
I'm not sure that actually we are required to follow our own ordinances. I think we actually are exempt from following our own ordinances. We can't be held liable, I think, right? That's my recollection was that...
I don't know in this instance.
I'm not sure in this instance. Well, we'd have to verify. But I'm not sure. I think I remember reading somewhere that we don't have to follow our own zoning code. Now, so we don't have to follow the stream buffer stuff.
Then he just thought he could speed home right now.
I'm going to send you all the 25-foot, too. I can see I've got that, too.
All right. Update on grants.
So what's the directive? Somebody get the documents here?
I understand, yeah. pursue, but again, I wasn't quite sure if that was something we would need to vote on to direct to you or if I could direct to you.
No, it's just time. At this point, we're not committing anything.
Okay.
Just getting the documents together.
Yeah, sorry. But let me go back to what Robert was saying. I think by leadership-wise, I think we ought to apply different stuff. But we could ask the DBA for their to put in a swing set. I mean, we're not going to build
yes,
this place is not...
Just footers.
Footers.
A couple of footers.
Yep.
I just look at it as a feasibility. Where, you know, we got a lot of young families moving in, and they want parks.
All right. Update on Grant.
Good evening. Oh, this works better.
Wow.
We got a new mic.
That's the voice of Oz.
Yeah. I know mine. The man behind that curtain. As requested, I put together a little schedule of some of the grants that we have received and are looking into. You've obviously had some time to look this over. Certainly, if you have any questions about any of these, I'll be glad to do my best to answer them. I'm finding that we're running into a couple of three really difficulties in pursuing grants, two of which you already know, one being we don't have a lot of historical information on the crime side of things, so a lot of the grants that the police department would normally be able to go after, they're not able to because they don't have the historical data that they need. The other difficulty that we're running into is that a lot of grants, for lack of a better word, are used to redistribute wealth. They target low-income areas or crime-ridden areas that are often impoverished. There's a lot of grants out there, but those really don't coincide with any of our 2010 or expected 2011 priorities, so we don't pursue those aggressively. But I have gone through, and there's a few in here. The third issue, which I haven't really talked about a lot of times, is for better or for worse, we're outpacing some of the opportunities to go after some of these things. For example, on here, the National Archives Electronic Records Project, well, we bought our document management system before we had a chance to apply and receive an award for that. So 2009 obviously was a lightning fast year as far as progress and pursuing priorities, and didn't give us a lot of foresight to plan into some of these other projects. I think what we'll start seeing through the 2010 budget cycle in projecting the 2011 budget is a little bit more foresight as to what we're going to be needing, and can start looking for grants that kind of coincide with some of those. But that being said, there are a few on here, ones that we are pursuing. That last one, we can kind of scratch that off our list, found out today. That is only where you have two or more counties covered, and at least one of those counties can't have 911 already, which I did a little research. I think there's one county in the state of Georgia that does not have 911 already, and they're getting it this year, so I'm not sure what that grant would ever accomplish. But I had to, we take that off the list once I was able to go through it and learn a little bit more. The first one in potential did actually get some encouraging news today, and this is one we may actually go pretty hard after. Again, there was some requirements in there. I wasn't quite sure because you had to show some economic negative effects in your area, and of course you have to meet what their definitions of those effects were. But I did find out that unemployment is one of them, and if you can show 500 unemployed per 100,000 of your population, then that would meet the criteria. And since we do not track Dunwoody specifically, we would use the DeKalb County unemployment rates, which have gone from 8.7 a year ago in March to 10.4 this past March, and equates to about 6,000 unemployed workers. So as far as meeting the 500 per 100,000 workers, we did meet that one. So I think we're going to look at this a little bit more carefully. There's more stringent requirements on the public works side of things, so we may not meet that qualification. But there are other items that would qualify, and what I'm going to try to do is work on some of our branding and marketing efforts and perhaps get those to go into this as well. So, and with that, I'll open up any questions you might have regarding any of these or others.
Just one quick question. When we did the feasibility study for the city, one of the things that CBI put in as a potential source of income was community development block grants.
Yes.
From the state. It hasn't materialized.
No, it has, and that's one of the obstacles that we're running into is CDBGs are so geared toward impoverished areas. And we
how about the area across Fisher Industrial?
Yeah,
that's
southeast corner and all, and that is something that Michael Smith is looking into. I know he had attended a meeting with DeKalb County recently that talked about the CDBGs coming up, partnering with them, or even going after one on our own. And specifically, if you wanted to address anything in there other than that, I'm certainly welcome to.
Just curious. Yeah.
But we're looking. It's not that we're not trying. Yeah. We've got some mixed blessing there that, you know, some of the things that these grants are wanting to accomplish, we don't have the problems that will be cured by those grants.
Is there any, you know, I know Mike's working on the stuff on the get some things into the TIP. Is there anything anywhere like park development? Is there anything like that out there? Park acquisition, park development, park enhancements, park safety.
They're out there. Of course, you have to. You know, there's green space acquisition in there. That was a big thing in the early part of the past decade that just kind of left. But there's still a few out there. But
you've got Land and Water Conservation Fund is a big funding source normally for parks and development and acquisition. So as soon as we get ownership of the parks, we'll be able to be eligible for those.
Maybe. And as far as acquiring new green space, of course, ones that have been trying and eventually get it, we're having to wait behind some of them. And also, those are very competitive grants because there's usually not a lot of strings attached to those. It's just basically money to go buy stuff. Whereas, you know, like been around for a while and writing a lot more grants, know a little bit better how to get those. So we're going to work on getting those as well.
Our grant writer, or are they providing us a source for some of these, or we have to come up with everything, and are they coming in and saying, hey, here's a couple here? How does that work?
Yeah, about half of these on this list came to us by their attention, and the Economic Development Board specifically, I talked for about an hour with them on that today. So they are working on this.
They get paid when we apply for one, so they have every incentive to find as many grants as possible. What they did in the initial stage is we sat down over the full day and talked with each of the departments about what the strategies are, so that they have a good idea what our strategic plan is for infrastructure projects and for other operational needs. So they're attempting to match available grants to programs that are, you know, important to us. So it's slowly working.
I realize we're new, and I realize that's a handicap in a lot of places, you know, because other people have already had their stuff in for 2 or 3 years. But this is a great source of revenue, and I think we need to continue to pursue that with great vigor. Thank you.
Any other questions, Chris? Thank you, Chris. All right, Warren.
No.
Okay. Attached in your documentation is a presentation for a contract amendment with Lowe. One of the things that when we went through the initial parks process, we had looked at initially having the contractors within the bids handle the entirety of the parks maintenance operation as part of their contract. What we've moved to is a similar model that we have with road maintenance, where we pay them for the labor expertise on the upper management level, and then we provide city funds that they help us spend appropriately on the best solutions to the different road maintenance problems, but also on parks maintenance as well. So in the fiscal year 2010 budget, we have $250,000 for parks, and that money is intended to pay for the maintenance from July 1st through the end of the year. Obviously, we may need to take another look at that as we get a little bit more inventory and analysis on the parks and the conditions. What this contract amendment is for staffing. What we recognize now, you know, a year and a half later from when we started the bid process, is that we don't believe we can run the park system with the current personnel that we have. As many of y'all have met with Michael and seen what he's been doing, there's no additional time in his schedule to deal with parks as a whole. Obviously, in the transition period, we've made some adjustments, and he'll be working on parks a lot of his time. So what this does is requests from council a contract amendment with Lowe that would put one full-time person as our Parks and Recreation Manager. The cost is $12,000 per month. So the half-year cost from July 1st going forward is going to be about $72,000 for this year. And this person will be handling, you know, basically everything related to the parks, from overseeing the maintenance, the repairs, being the liaison between the various organizations that really run our parks on a daily basis, and cultural centers between the schoolhouse, the Brook Run, Conservancy, the Dunway Senior Baseball folks, the Nature Center folks, and, you know, oversee those relationships and meet their needs, but then also, you know, handle some of the strategic planning and then also the operational issues, especially what we have at Brook Run. So we think it's going to take one person to be able to kind of oversee the operation in full with the amount of acreage and opportunities that we have. We recognize fully that we are not running an active recreation program where we have responsibilities to set up leagues for soccer and baseball. That's really handled through our partners, and then most of it outside the city limits over at Murphy Chandler and the other county facilities where those programs are more prevalent. But we've also got all of our swim and tennis clubs and you know, they handle a lot of this as well, and the churches and JCC. So that's the basics of it. It's $12,000 a month. This would start at the time that we get the parks, you know, fully quit claimed over to us. I recommend approval on this step so we can get this behind us. It's not something that would be easily bid out because you're really kind of splitting the baby from the bathwater with the you know, Lowe is responsible for the parks in general. To take the position and give it to another firm would really not make a whole lot of sense at this point. The cost is consistent with the other multipliers they've used for their other personnel that we have existing. So I'd go ahead and recommend approval at your regular meeting of this item.
All right, Dean. Give you everyone a little background. I went back and just researched and reminded myself about the contract. We had this as an amendment in the contract that they could take out. And basically, if you look at the chart, and I re-looked at that today, the maintenance, you know, it's got down as Roadworks doing the maintenance. And then underneath that is TBA, to be announced as a position, kind of this position. And the initial contract, until we kind of revamped the contract, was for two people to be working in the parks 3 days a week in non-high season. I think it's November to March, if my memory serves me right. And they'd be working, they say, 3 days a week. And then during the high season, they'd be working 5 days a week. They'd take care of trimming the hedges, cutting the grass, fertilizing the ball fields, doing minor maintenance. Now, fences went down, or the, you know, they had to have to replace the bathroom. That was not included. It was minor maintenance. And that was negotiated, and Warren helped me on these. It was about 167 the first year, about 173 or 4 the second year, and I think it goes to 180 with the escalator. So that's what was negotiated in there. And then we, of course, it was a stipulation. We don't know whether we're going to have the parks in 09, and the verbiage almost said verbatim is something like, but be prepared to start maintenance on 1 January 2009 in event. That was where the contract all laid out, is where we are. And Warren came up with some of the ideas, like, you know, we're going on a just a straight fee basis. and there is no add-on onto those maintenance fees, correct, Warren?
Well, the maintenance fees are in our budget, and they're subject to our approval to spend them.
Well, I'm talking about what they charge us.
Yeah, what they charge us is a straight labor fee.
Straight labor fee, so there's not an add-on factor onto that.
But those labor fees don't include the crews that are out mowing.
No, that's
separate money.
Yeah, so that's just to tell you how it was negotiated initially, and we kind of had it written in there that they would do with the in-house people that they had, but we never did put a name on the parks square box. And so.
Yeah, Dan. Do you envision one alternative we have for our parks or some of our facilities would be to enter into an agreement with a third-party organization, lease agreement, much like they have at Calamar Fine Arts between DeKalb and the Conservancy, Calamar Fine Arts. In that case, they're responsible for not only the maintenance, but also the operations of their facility. Could you envision this maybe as something that we could carve out these things as we make decisions on what we want to do with the properties, how we want to operate them?
Yeah.
There may be more people that are more, have a better understanding of monitoring and managing some of our facilities than we do as a city.
Yeah, there's nothing in this contract amendment that would preclude us from, as we go forward, we're going to be looking carefully at some of the relationships. They're either pre-existing or that could be made on these facilities and seeing what's the most efficient way for us to deal with the facilities are. So
right.
Certainly nothing in this prohibits us from carving out facilities and saying that, someone else is in the future will be responsible for it.
I think, more my vision of this has been for some time, the more public-private type partnerships that we can arrange here to get some of these expenses off of our books going forward, the better off we're going to be. Probably would have done a better job of managing and maintaining these facilities under that kind of arrangement. And I'm going to be passing it through to Brian and to you a copy of such an agreement that I think would be appropriate at some point in the future for us to do that too.
Sure.
All right, any other questions on loan?
Thanks, Warren.
All right, the meeting agenda, regular council agenda, any discussion on that?
I've got a couple items I want to pull off the consent agenda, but
that would be the time. This would be it.
Well, we can't vote on that. We have to vote on it going item off the consent agenda.
I don't know. I thought one of the reasons that we had did this way is so that we could talk about items we were going to pull off the
so we don't have to pull them off.
Right, if there was something we could talk about, maybe you would decide that we didn't have to pull them off.
Right. Yeah, you're not voting to pull it off. I mean, basically, if one person wants it off, it comes off anyway. But,
right.
But at the meeting, the mayor will reset the agenda based on the feedback he gets from you.
But we can get it resolved here.
Yeah.
If it's a question or something.
Sure. Okay. On I-5, the way it's stated in here right now, let's see if I can pull it up real quick. We talked extensively about the funding on that, and in my notes, I've got that we... We would
be 125, and we would use that 80,000 as part of the 125, with the possibility of later using. It was a fund that we identified. From the zoning study. If we needed additional funding above the 125. In other words, what we talked about last time was that we budgeted 125 each. That was satisfactory in our budget and everything else. And then when we got the 80,000 addition, we just tossed it on top of it here. I think being fiscally responsible, we should stay with 125 each. And then later, as it was discussed, if we do need additional funds, we can put the other 80,000 back in there. We have to use that 80,000 as part of the 125. Put that 80,000 back in the general fund for use of many uses that we have. And we do have the zoning study, which I don't know why that money became available, though I did not write that down.
My understanding from the discussion was that that the council was going to go ahead and fund the whole 330 into the contract, and that we were going to deduct the $100,000 for the zoning study from our budget, and then that would then basically accomplish the same thing, and that you would be spending $100,000 less in the fiscal year than you had intended, but still provide the authority in the contract to spend up to the 330 level on this project, but we were going to cut the, or delay the $100,000 for the zoning update to next year. And put it in next year's budget and let y'all decide what you want to do next year.
So really, we don't have that $100,000, we're just delaying that expenditure.
Yeah, if council, I mean, you can kill it for next year if it becomes an issue of not wanting to do it on the zoning update. Phase one, we can do that next year in the budget. So once the fiscal year ends, that money disappears. So it would be basically we've identified $100,000 in savings to compensate for, you know, accepting the grant money and putting it toward this, in addition to what's already been budgeted.
My sense of this $80,000 of additional money that comes from the grant is designed around improving how much community interaction we can have. That part of what we're doing here for this extra money is some extra stuff to get the community involved. And frankly, I don't want us to do this on the cheap. I think we didn't do a great job on that in the comp plan, and I don't want us to repeat that mistake. So I'd rather us budget a little more and be sure that we're going to get all the input we can get than do it the other way.
I-6 is the one that we talked about last time. The only thing, change there is, and Mike and I talked, is priority to a street that has no sidewalk on either side, and that is in there. There are streets for that, so there is some priority in that. My point was here is that we had major streets like, you know, any major thoroughfare that had a sidewalk at least on one side before we were putting them on both sides, unless it was in a school walk zone on other streets. That was my point that I wanted to emphasize. The other point was we talked about last time to make the 51% to 65% the same as the speed humps, speed common devices, and that didn't make it in there. There it is right here, 65 versus 51%. So that because of the additional tax burden and everything else, and all the people who are in there, I think when you got that short of a smaller percentage here, 51-49, you're setting yourself up for a neighborhood clash, which I think you could. That you don't want to have happen.
I think we have 65 in the work session.
I think 65 is just it's just.
I'll play devil's advocate. I don't know that I really feel strongly about it, but I can see how, with a speed hump, it's not just the cost of installing the speed hump that would require a very high bar. It's the fact that everybody has to go over it. Right, that there's a potential that there are people who object to the speed hump, not because of the cost, but because they don't want to have a speed hump. I'm not sure anybody objects to having a sidewalk. Oh. Right? That
they'd be surprised.
They might.
They're going to have them half their front yard. The
main two reasons I've seen in my career has been, one, if it potentially interferes with a tree.
Or a mailbox
that has to be moved, they don't want moved. Some people actually don't want pedestrians walking in front of their property, so they don't want the sidewalk, or if it takes up too much of their apron.
I withdraw. Silly
stuff.
All right.
There's no lights. So, certainly. I-6. Was there anything else, Kenny?
I think I just got one other point I wanted to make. Brian and I talked the other evening, and we changed policy, and we need to do it at the same time we change. It's in the ordinance that way now, 51%. In our streets and sidewalks, there's a sidewalk district in there. And so really,
initiate a text amendment.
Yes. Well, it's not in the zoning. It wouldn't be a text amendment. You could do it in budget by ordinance.
So does that mean that we leave it as it is tonight because it matches the ordinance, and then at the next meeting or the meeting after, we change both together?
Okay. If you can make a note of that.
We have two readers on that. Is that a two reader?
It's a two reader. Yeah. So we'll add that to.
So is that the only.
So we'll leave
we're
going to
leave it at 51%. Can it remain on consent?
Yes.
Yeah, as long as everybody agrees,
we'll have it on the May work session.
Okay. We're not going to take
that. May meeting will be the first read.
That was inappropriate.
It's all being recorded. No one about to. We got
them. Chairs over here.
We got them on record.
All right, so that's I-6 in the number of meetings. So we're just going to take off I-5.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this: Can we make a additional to the agenda tonight and have that as a first read? Or
we don't have a markup. Nobody's going to do this.
It's not going to come up. 2 weeks. The time frame it takes to.
Okay.
We'll think we're safe. All right. So we are on initiation of text amendment.
Liquor ordinance.
All right, liquor.
Okay, liquor ordinance. We initiated the liquor ordinance back in December of 08. We basically, with some changes, adopted a lot of the DeKalb County liquor ordinance. We changed the timing of the bars opening and closing in the last tour and those sorts of things, but by and large, it was the same liquor ordinance. Within that liquor ordinance, it provided that stores like Total Wines and Whole Foods could have the ability to have a tasting capability for wines. And what I'd like to propose is that I was approached by one of the local owners of a brewery, Atlanta Brewery, that has beer, and also by the Total Wine folks. They'd like to be able to have tastings of beer as well. And I'd like to add the word wine and beer to that ordinance for tastings.
Makes sense. Okay.
Anybody have any
No, I'm good. But we just need to have, we have to do it on a...
Yeah, we're going to need to get that drafted.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now what? Does that go through the community council?
No. That's
citywide. It's
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
All right, so we'll add that change of ordinance.
Okay. May work session.
That was tough, wasn't it?
Yeah. Dennis is going to hang out up there, so he's going, mudcats.
I go by both. I think it'd be okay if you did also.
Yeah. That's a whole other debate there.
Probably one more day left the legislative session. Not a bad one this year.
All right, so text amendment.
Do we have anything?
No. All right, public comment. Any public comment card?
Yes, sir.
All right. I will move that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? We're adjourned.
Thank you all for
coming. 10 minutes. 10 minutes.
Yeah, 10 minutes. Yeah.
10 minutes.
Reorganize.
Hey, Chief.
Right. 40,000.